This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you and welcome to Islamic Online University's Ramadan Retreat. Today is the third session of our webinar series to mark the occasion of Ramadan. These series have been designed not just to boost our iman and maximize the rewards that we can gain in Ramadan, but also to bring changes in our personality that extends throughout the year, inshallah. We have completed two sessions already, the first being about being healthy and fit in Ramadan by Sister Amina Khan, and the second one by Sheikh Ismail Kamdar about remaining productive at work in this month. Alhamdulillah. And for today, we have Sheikh Hussain Yi with us to emphasize about the essence of Ramadan, inshallah. Before we start our session, allow me to briefly introduce you all to IOU. The Islamic Online University is the brainchild of Dr. Bilal Phillips, who envisioned an institution that would offer online, intensive, undergraduate and graduate programs completely tuition-free. IOU offers bachelor's, diploma and certificate programs under the departments of Islamic Studies, Psychology, Finance and Economics, Education and Information Technology. Besides these, IOU also offers Quran memorization courses, including ijazah programs from qualified instructors, as well as short diploma courses on specific topics. Alhamdulillah. Our today's session is about the essence of Ramadan. We all seek to gain as much rewards and benefits from the month of Ramadan by offering more salah, giving more in charity, and reciting the Quran daily. But as much as these acts are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we sometimes become so focused only on the rituals that we forget the spirit behind them. To understand the flaws in our approach towards our ibadah, and to better appreciate the essence of Ramadan, we have Sheikh Hussain Yi with us today. Sheikh Hussain Yi is the founder and president of Al Khadim International in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. Born into a Buddhist family, Sheikh Hussain Yi embraced Islam in 1968 at the age of 18. He pursued studies at the University of Medina in Saudi Arabia, majoring in Hadith. At the University of Medina, he studied under the renowned 20th century Islamic scholar Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Bani, and his talks have been featured on various international channels such as Islam Channel in London, Peace TV from India, and Iqra TV. His daughter Sheikha Wafa Hussain is the founder of Tajweed Made Easy Academy, an online platform for learning the recitation of Quran for sisters exclusively. At present, Sheikh Hussain remains committed to running his Islamic welfare organization Al Khadim International, which he founded in 1984 in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, to be with us today, and over to you now.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu. وَمَا يُتْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا أَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أُوْسِيكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ أَوْلًا بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ فَازَ الْمُتَّقُونَ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ بَعْدَ الْأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ وَقَالَ اللَّهُ أَيْضًا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ وَبَعْدُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. To all the brothers and sisters in Islam, wherever you are, who are following this program, we welcome you again to Ramadan al-Mubarak, the blessed month. that Allah Rabbul Alameen chose for us to fast in this particular month. Now, when we talk about ibadah, fasting, there are two parts. One is the physical, and the second is the spiritual. Everything ibadah in Islam, any act of worship, is divided into two parts. One is the physical benefits and the spiritual benefits. Zahiratan aw batinata. Now, when we talk about Ramadan, the essence of Ramadan, it's very important for us to begin by understanding why Islam and why Allah Rabbul Alameen choose Ramadan. Now, any act of worship in Islam is very unique. The month Allah choose, it's not we who choose the month that we like, no. Because it belongs to Allah, so Allah is the one who choose the month for all of us. Whether you're east, west, north, south, we all will celebrate Ramadan at the same month, known as Ramadan. Now, month Allah fixed. Number two, Allah Rabbul Alameen also fixed the days, the number of days. Allah Rabbul Alameen said, Ayyamu ma'dudat. The day is being fixed by Allah. Islamic calculation, the Islamic month, there's only 29 days or 30s. No 28 and no 31 days. Either 29 and 30 days. And then Allah Rabbul Alameen also show us and guide us when to start to fast and when should we break our fast. The beginning of fast is when Fajr come in, and the breaking is when Maghrib comes in, or known as Ghurub al-Sham, sunset. Now, brothers and sisters, we have been very blessed because the religion of Islam is so organized, so perfect. Everything is been fixed. Everything was been perfected by Allah Rabbul Alameen. We just have to try our level best to follow in the best way that we can. Allah Rabbul Alameen remind us, وَسَابِكُونَ أَوَّلُونَ مِنَ مُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَرُ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. The early people who have accepted Islam, who have become Muslim, is the people of Mecca and follow up with the people of Medina. And whoever follow them, be ihsan in the best manner. Now, when you talk about the essence of Ramadan, we know the ritual of Ramadan is known to every one of us. When Ramadan come in, everybody just prepare themselves to fast. At the daytime and nighttime, we try to perform Qiyamul Ramadan, the night prayer. This is very common to all the Muslims wherever they are. But then some people would have to struggle. Come to Ramadan, they feel that there is a pressure, there's some difficulty now that they are going to face from not eating and drinking and any kind of intimacy with their husband or their wife. But is that what fasting is about? Is that what Allah really need from us? But let me start with one very beautiful virtue and the saying of the Prophet and also Hadith Qudsi. One day the Prophet ﷺ remind his ummah, especially when Ramadan's come in. He said, "Kullu amalan ibn Adam lah illa sawm." As-sawmuli wa ana azibi. Every deeds that we engage in as the children of Adam, wherever you are, is only for your own benefit, for you, except fasting. And all the other deeds that you have engaged in outside of Ramadan, Allah will reward you لكل حسنة عشر أمثالها إلى 700. Every good deed will be rewarded based on your intention, of course, 1 to 10 until 700 times, except fasting Ramadan. Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, infinite, unlimited. The reward that Allah is going to give us is not been limited to 700 times or more, but it's up to Allah completely. Can you imagine, brothers and sisters, the blessing of this month? Why? Because this relationship, fasting for the sake of Allah, is really very personal. Nobody really knows whether you are eating, you are drinking behind anybody's back. No one knows. Other ritual you can see, but eating and drinking is something you can do it, no, privately, no one knows. But you still, yeah, fast because you believe in Allah, guided by your iman. And that's why in the Quran, Allah said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, kutiba alaykumusiyam. Kama, kutiba alallazina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Allah, who loves us so much, keep on planning a program for all of us to maintain our iman so that our iman is intact. And in the same time, to develop our iman to a higher level, to another level, to the level of taqwa. That's why Allah said, O you who believe, I have made fasting an obligation upon all of you, like how this fast, the siyam, is being made as an obligation to the early nation, min qabl, before all of you. Now, when you look back, the religion of Samawat, the heavenly religion from Allah, from Adam to Noah to Abraham, to Isaac, and then to Moses, to Jesus, all these prophets, all of them have a siyam, have fasting. Not only to us, even when you look into the practice of Buddhism, Hinduism, Judaism, Christianity, every part of them, there is a law of fasting. But Islam fixes it in a manner that the time is being fixed from Fajr to sunset, day is being fixed, and the month is being fixed. Not like the other religious ritual, because it's up to them how many hours, how many days. But to us, it's not up to us. It is our duty to submit to Almighty, the all-knowing, the all-seeing, that this is the best manner to fast for the sake of Allah. Now, do Allah really want us to have difficulty in life in this month, that we don't eat, don't drink, and then we become non-productive? We become so passive that coming to Ramadan, we just think of ourselves. I want to read the Quran. I want to get closer to Allah. But how about your responsibility towards fellow mankind, the creation of Allah? We know that everything we do, we have two parts that is very important. The first is our relation with Allah grow vertically. The second one is our relationship between fellow mankind horizontally. We cannot depart from this. Hablum minallah wa hablum minan nas. It's very, very important. Because Allah said, Duribat alayhimu zillatu aynama thukifu illa bihabli minallah wa habli minan nas. Allahu Akbar. Allah is telling us that we will not be successful. Wherever you are, we'll be all a loser unless we have a vertically relationship with Allah Almighty and horizontally relationship between fellow mankind. Two relationships with Allah and among us as fellow mankind, even the environment. Now, the reason Allah wants us to fast is to help us to upgrade our iman to the level of la'allakum tattaqun. So that at the end of the day, inshallah, our iman will be increasing, will be upgraded to a higher level, a taqwa. Now, why taqwa is more important than iman? We remember, in life, all of us will be tested in a manner. Whether you are tested early, the beginning of your life, whether you are in the middle or the end, even in marriage life, family life, sometimes there are people who have been tested from the beginning, some in the middle, some at the end of their family life. Whatever we do in our work area, sometimes we'll be tested in the beginning or the middle or the end. Now, we all always want to have a good ending. Husnul Khatimah. And that's why one of the important prayers when you ask Allah is Allahumma khatim lana bil husnil khatimah. Oh Allah, give our ending a good ending. Now, what I like to remind all the good brothers and sisters about this term taqwa. Why taqwa is important? Allah remind us in other surah, in other ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allahu Akbar. Whoever have attained taqwa, meaning they are not just a believer, but they become a muttaqin, who always remember Allah, good time, bad time, while standing, while sitting down, while lying down, wherever they are. They never forget Allah Rabbul Alamin as the creator, the provider. They are very thankful and grateful. Whatever they receive from Allah, even they don't get anything, they are still very thankful and grateful and have patience. And they always try the level best. A muttaqin is a people who will keep on trying, never give up, to get closer to Allah by doing what Allah wants us to do, not doing what we like to do. Do things that please Him by following His Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Because nobody can please Allah without following His Messenger. It is His command. So that we follow His Messenger that He has chosen for us, then we will gain His love. Now, when you have taqwa, Allah said, Allah Himself, is going to come and help us to solve whatever problem we face as an individual, as a family, as a worker, wherever you are, whatever you do. Problem is always there, brothers and sisters. Nobody can say, I have no problem. I'm problem-free person. No. The truth is, we all have problems. And Allah is all-knowing. And He is here ready to help all of you. To help me, to help all of you. Allahu Akbar. So what is there for us to lose? This is the best way to ask Allah for help by gaining taqwa first. And then Allah said, I will come and show you ways, not one way, many ways to overcome whatever problem you encounter. Health problem, financial problem, marriage problem, you just name it. Allah knows everything. And then Allah continue. I know that as a human, as we grow, our needs, financial needs also grow. We have more responsibility. We have more things to buy. We have more things to take care of. Then money also is a very important thing in life. Then Allah said, this risk, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. when everybody is having a hard time because of finance, because of the financial issue, Allah will give us the inner peace that Allah will provide for us more than what we can imagine. People is struggling and suffering, we still can move normally, patiently, and then we are contented. Allahu Akbar. Whatever Allah have given us, we are so contented. The little we have, plus the blessing, the barakah, is better than we have a lot, but without barakah. This is also one area that a lot of people overlook. They always think that success is based on how much you have. No, no, not just how much we have. Whether whatever we have is been blessed by Allah or not. This is very important. Al-barakah. Now that is why Allah Rabbul Alameen want us to fast, not to make our life difficult. If people feel that, oh, fasting month again, no, we don't eat, we don't drink, we are not productive, we cannot be active like before, we have no more energy. Now, that is something very negative, and it only come to us when we don't have the right understanding about the essence of fasting, the essence of Ramadan. Look at what Allah said. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرَ. Allah intend ease. Even He want you to fast, He want you to relax. If you are not healthy, you are sick, break your fast. If you're traveling, break your fast. If the woman is having pregnancy, break your fast. If you're breastfeeding, you need to consume good nutrition food to produce healthy milk to give to your children. Break your fast. There's many way out, but if you have the right iman, you don't feel the burden anymore. And that's why the Prophet even said, "Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaba ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever fasts with iman, not just for the sake of fasting, because of tradition, because of, you know, it's a common practice when Ramadan come in, everybody have to fast. No, no, no. Of course, there is part of the environment we know. It helps, yes. But our intention is because we believe in Allah. If Allah said fast, we will fast. We're full of sincerity and hope. وَاحْتِسَابًا. So that Allah will accept our deeds. And we'll be promised by Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you do it with the right intention, with the right spirit, with the right understanding, with the right knowledge, then number one, the good news, all our past sins last year from Ramadan until this Ramadan is been wiped out. It's been erased by Allah Rabbul Alameen, the all forgiving, the all merciful, the all loving, wa huwa ghafurur rahim wa tawwabur rahim. Look at the blessing. Look at this. The mercy of Allah Rabbul Alameen. And then Allah in the Hadith Qudsi also remind us about two kind of happiness that we all will experience when we fast purely for the sake of Allah. لِصَائِمْ فَرْحَتَانِ. For those who fast, there are two happiness. Number one, حِنَا يُفْتِر, when we are breaking our fast. Allahu Akbar. After abandoning or stop eating and drinking 14, 15, 16, 17 hours or maybe less than that, or even more than that, now it's time to break your fast. Allahu Akbar. Then you value water more than food. Because water is more important than solid food. But one thing I like to remind all the good brothers, husband or father, to the wife and to the mother. We know that as a woman, to all the sisters who are following this program, we are always busy preparing iftar, preparing food for the family, for our loved one, our children, our husband, to break their fast. We hope that this year, our family understand, especially our husband, do understand the importance of making dua. And one of the dua that the Prophet ﷺ have said that will not be rejected by Allah, a very powerful dua, and the powerful time is before iftar. The dua that's been done before iftar. If you make a dua, say the example, 7:30 or 7:20 p.m. is our iftar. That means Maghrib times. By 7:20, if 7:30 is iftar, 7:20, about 10 minutes or 5 minutes before the breaking of fast, we should spend our time with our wudu with us. We must have wudu. It's better have wudu before the breaking of fast and make dua. Ask Allah whatever you need. He knows everything, of course. But sometimes we have some very personal thing that we want Allah to answer our prayer, to accept it. Ask Him. We hope our husband, our children will also have patience not to keep on pushing us to prepare for until the last minute, until the azan, and we are still preparing. No, we can prepare everything maybe in 20 minutes before iftar, and then 10 or 5 minutes before iftar, everybody is ready making dua. The husband make dua, the father make dua, the mother make dua, our children make dua, you make dua, I make dua. And always remember, when we make dua, don't be selfish in our prayer. Don't just say, oh Allah, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me, only me. No, but we ask for everybody. We ask, may Allah give us peace to everybody. Everywhere we go, we hope there will be peace. And when there's peace, there's a lot of extra miles of things that we can do. There's a lot of benefit, yeah, when you have peace. Peace is very important. Ask Allah for help. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Of course, we have been committing a lot of sins before, and we are still sinning. But inshallah, when we don't give up hope, Allah will keep on forgiving us. And Allah loves to forgive. It's not like us. Sometimes we are so, I would say that we are so unjust to ourselves and to others. We love people to forgive us, but we don't learn how to love to forgive others. So this is very important, brothers and sisters, so that we understand the essence, the spirit. Don't just fast, but don't forget the prayer. Just a dua. And the second thing, also very important, to make sure that we are different than the other group of people or those who are fasting, the people of the book, is to wake up for sahur. Because our Prophet ﷺ remind his great ummah that fi sahur barakah. Again, no, you just cannot imagine. There's so much blessing in the manner before the fajr come in, the pre-dawn meal. We wake up for sahur, and sahur time, brothers and sisters, it's not at 12 p.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m. No, the best sahur is the sahur that is very close to fajr prayer. That is the best. Say if 5:30 a.m. is fajr, then the right time for you to get prepared by 5:10 until near to fajr. That is the best time to make sahur. Even just a drink, some juices, dates, oats, cereal, it's up to you. But don't be lazy. I don't want to wake up for sahur. I have my early meal. before I sleep. Then I just wake up for Fajr. Now, don't underestimate the barakah of sahur. And also you must remember that time is also a good time to keep on making dua. Ask Allah for our inner peace, for the peace of everybody. Ask Allah to forgive everybody, to guide all of us, to make all of us always move in the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim. And ask Allah to bless us with more halal rizq, good provision, healthy, quality provision, not just halal, but also with quality, good. All this is very important. And brothers and sisters, we know our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when come to Ramadan, he always do extra, extra good, extra kind, yeah, extra helpful. But today, a lot of people who start to fast, and it's become very passive, very unproductive. They'll start to ask for easy work, no more hard work, and they want to, you know, end their working hour earlier and so on. They got the wrong idea about fasting. Fasting is not just thinking about you and me only, no. Fasting is also to remind us about how to help others, how to feel for others who are poor, who are needy, who don't have food, who don't have their drinks, water to even to drink sometimes. So that's why in the fasting month, by right, we should multiply our productivity. Because the time for us to eat, have lunch, have break, we are not doing anything. There's no food, no drink. So that time is the best time for you to utilize it productively, to be more active. Example, if you're working in the office, people will think that, oh, fasting month, if possible, I want to take a break, 1 month off or 2 weeks off, you know, so that I have more time to recite the Quran. Of course, it's good to recite the Quran, not only in Ramadan. Every day we should recite the Quran. Even one page. You know, I'm going to be very humble. You know, some people, no, you should have 10 juzu. No, I'm just saying, for people who are so busy today, a lot of Muslims have given a lot of excuses. Yeah, I have no time, I'm busy with the worldly things. Okay, one page per day. Can you say you don't have time to read Quran, a page a day, with understanding? If you call them to recite one juzu, they'll give excuse. Oh, I can't, I have no time. If you say just recite one ayah, it's too little, one ayah. Just to be fair to yourself, one page is good. If you can go 10, alhamdulillah, 100, alhamdulillah. But minimum one, but with understanding, one page with understanding. Because if you recite the Quran, brother and sister, just for the sake of recitation, you get reward, of course. Li kulli harf ashru, understand? Yeah, one huruf, you get 10 reward. But to really do the Quran benefit you if you just recite without understanding? Quran is a guide and huda. Quran is Furqan, is here to teach you or show you what is right, what is wrong. Yeah. And so that you know the difference. You know the difference between black and white, halal, haram, haq, batil. But if you don't understand, then how can you benefit from this book? So it's time for us to plan that this year, when we recite the Quran, not just to rush to finish the recitation, no, but to get closer to Allah, to understand what Allah wants us to do. And how can we prepare ourselves to meet Him? And that's why even Allah said about fasting, one happiness when you break your fast, the second happiness, Hina yalqa rabbah. When you meet Allah Almighty. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that if we, Allah Qadar, end our life while we are fasting with the right intention, following all the rulings, Allahu Akbar, then the door of paradise is open for us. And there will be a special gate of paradise known as Ar-Rayyan, only for people who fast, can pass through this gate and enter paradise. Can you imagine what is better than paradise? All of us are working very hard every day, trying to do our level best. Try to be good for what? So that Allah is happy with us. And when Allah is happy with us, He forgives all our shortcomings. And that's what we always pray and hope for. And in return, He will enter all of us into paradise. You know what is paradise, of course. All the delight. Then there's no fasting anymore in paradise. Don't worry about fasting. No more fasting. You don't need to fast. You just enjoy your life. And it's an eternal life. It's forever. The little that we contribute for the sake of Allah here, Allah gives us huge reward. It's a ni'mah. Allahu Akbar. Walillahi alhamd. So again, brother and sister, don't be passive when Ramadan comes in. Maybe some people may feel a bit difficult in the beginning of Ramadan because we have been eating, drinking all the year round. Don't worry. Just try your best, make your intention, and Allah will help you. As long as you are sincere, that's why sincerity is very important. That you want to do for the sake of Allah. Not because you just want to please the people, show to your parents, show to your friends. No. Purely for Allah, lillah. Khalis lillahi ta'ala. All of us are aware of what we can do, how we can upgrade ourselves in the month of Ramadan, not by just staying away from our social responsibility, from office responsibility, that you are there to serve more with extra energy that Allah has given you, extra time that you have to use your time for lunch or break. Now you are using it to serve others for the sake of Allah, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of blessing. Sometimes I was a bit sad to hear that people always say, no fasting man, I want to spend my time recite the Quran only, I want to make prayer at night, a lot of prayer, and then I'll fast in the daytime, I want to make a lot of zikir, everything just you, me. How about our right response towards others? You know that Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, is so blessed that whatever you do, the extra effort that you can put, if you can say, I just give you an example. If your working hour before Ramadan is 8 to 4 or 9 to 5. Now you can say, Ramadan, I can come and start at 8 to 5. Or I will do 9 to 6. But normally people don't do that. They want to leave early. They want to go home early. Fair enough. I think we can try to be flexible because the lunch time that you use for your lunch, you can keep on working. So you don't have lunch. Because there's no lunch. And then that hour, you work so that you can leave early, an hour early. No problem. Yeah, normally, we try our level best to do what we can. And you know that in the month of Ramadan, wherever you are, brothers and sisters, if there's any poor and the needy around, normally they will come. In our center, almost every day people start to drop in. And we try our best to advise them, to guide them, to motivate them, and to help them financially, whatever we can. we do that. Normally in the month of Ramadan, we have walk in people, the poor and the needy, with the numbers, no one knows. Sometimes a day you have 20, 30, wallahu alam. The more we have, the more we can give for the sake of Allah Rabbul Alameen. Just helping another human is something very, very, I would say that very, very great. You know, you remember in the time of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are two incidents that the Prophet shared with us through his saying in Sahih Muslim. If you look at the hadith about, there was a man who just feed a thirsty dog, a dog. Allah entered him to paradise. There was a woman, another hadith, who was a prostitute. She used her body to earn a living. Commit sin, of course. But because of her mercy towards a thirsty dog that was licking on the ground because the dog is just looking for water, and then she finally take out her shoes and let it down into the well and pull some water up and let the dog drink some water, and the dog survive, and Allah forgive all her past sin and enter her to paradise. That is to feeding animals. Allah have reward you with paradise. How about feeding the poor and the needy? Helping the poor and the needy, especially in the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine you can help them? And then we have the second exercise, is the people that we invite to come to us so that we will distribute, you know, whatever we can to ease their burden for this coming Eid. And then two more exercises, we go out, reaching out to the poor and the needy, where we have sent our volunteers to check up their details to make sure they all are genuine poor and needy people who reserve or who deserve to be helped, who have the right. This is very important. Very important for us to be very proactive, not just Ramadan thinking of reciting the Quran for yourself, khatam the Quran, complete the khatam. No, if you can do it, you are welcome, brothers. But if you can't, you can just go on, recite the Quran every day. And you get you 2 months, 3 months, as long as your reading is good. But the good deeds that you have to do, sometime in Ramadan, you feel that you are motivated to do more than outside Ramadan. Because in Ramadan, there are more poor people who come to you. Because they know this is a good month. That everybody would like to do more, so they will come. Other than Ramadan, maybe they will not be there anymore. You look at the spirit of Ramadan sometime. Ramadan, the night, most of the musalla is full. People come and make their qiyam, their night prayer. Compared with other months, you hardly see people coming to the mosque. But when Ramadan, there's a special attraction, special blessing, barakah. Allahu Akbar. Only we hope, brothers and sisters, if you worship Allah, please don't do just for the sake of doing. Not the number of rakan is important. It is the khushu, the quality of the prayer. When you perform your prayer, please remember, we did ask Allah, Allahumma inni ala zikrik. Oh Allah, I'm seeking your help to help me to remember you in the best manner that you deserve, and also for me to be thankful to you and help me to perform the best act of worship, the best ibadah, not just ibadah, but with quality, with adab. When you follow the imam, you have the adab in following the imam. You are patient enough. You don't move until the imam have finished his movement. And when you follow the imam, when the imam end the reciting of Fatiha, you don't say Amin before the imam. As a ma'mum, ma'mum must have patience, must hold on until the imam say then you continue Amin together. Sometimes we are so impatient. Imam said Dolli before the end of Lin, we said Amin. How can the ma'mum recite something before the imam. You can't do that. And the saf, always remember when you pray jama'ah, make sure the saf is straight and you will stand close to each other, shoulder to shoulder, feet to feet. Leave no gaps among yourself. Be connected in your prayer. Then you will see the energy. Then you feel the khushu', inshallah. I only pray, may Allah Rabbul Alamin give us the right understanding. Everything you do, don't overlook the essence, the spirit of the ritual or the ibadah. The movement recitation is just very physical. It's the ritual, but the inner part is just like fasting. Be more productive. Prepare to work harder. Prepare to serve more. Be connected with people, and you connect the people with Allah. You're helping the poor, helping the need, and remind them to be connected to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Don't just give them food, money, but you don't connect them with Allah. It's our duty. May Allah Rabbul Alamin help us, brothers and sisters. I think, inshallah, whatever I've tried to share with you in a very simple manner, I believe all of us have been trying the best. Just don't give up. Keep on moving and keep on trying your level best. And be more extra kind, more forgiving, no more judgmental, and take care of your tongue. When you are fasting, no more gossiping, no more backbiting, no more lying. Always have extra patience. Then you have extra reward, inshallah. So before I end this small reminder, if there's anything that you want to ask me, inshallah, now we are moving to the second part, Q&A, question and answer section. Tafaddal.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh. Inshallah, now we'll take some questions. Please type in your question in the chat box and please try to make it as specific as possible and pertaining to our topic today, inshallah. We have a question from Brother Abdul Rahim. He is asking about some suggestions for light exercises during fasting. Would you recommend that or do you suggest that?
Well, yes. Sometimes we use the term spiritual gym. You know, in fasting month, it's not a month for us to be weak. We know that even the Prophet said, Al-mu'min qawiyun khayrun wa habba ilallah min al-mu'minina da'if. I mean, a strong believer is most beloved by Allah. Strong here, it can be physical, mental, and spiritual. There's nothing to stop you from going to the gym, doing exercise, nothing. Even in sport, if you think that you are ready, you go. Continue whatever you used to do. You feel that your body is lighter because you don't have extra to carry in your body. You don't eat a lot. But the important thing for those who love to do all this activity, please, again, that's why we said that in sahur there is barakah. Because the pre-dawn meal is very important to have, you have to back up with liquid, especially liquid and some light food, so that your energy level is always there. You know? We must always remember that in the time of the Prophet, when fasting month is not a month for them to relax, to the extent that most of the Islamic jihad war took place in the fasting month, because the enemy of Islam thought that when the Muslim is fasting, they become weak, so that we can attack them and we can destroy them faster. But they underestimate the spiritual side of fasting. Then when we have fast, we have extra energy inside us. Because we know fasting is a personal intimidation, yeah? Intimate experience. We have intimate experience with Allah Rabbul Alameen. Something very personal. And then when we work up with the metaphysical muscle, discipline, our desire, our praying, reflecting, and everything is an exercise. Yeah, inshallah, there's nothing wrong, brother, to carry on with your normal exercise. Not to the extent that you are going to invalidate your fast. Yeah? Not to torture yourself. Do whatever you can. I do exercise even in Ramadan. Even half an hour. I sweat, stretch up. Good. Yeah, you can do it. No problem.
MashaAllah, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair for that answer. We have another question. It's quite common that we see when in countries where there are non-Muslims more around us, they get very attracted by seeing Muslims fasting. And then they also, so what do you have to say about that? We have a question from Brother Arzi who says, is it okay for a non-Muslim to practice Islam? And I hope that he means more specifically that they fast in Ramadan, because often this happens.
Meaning that we are inviting the not yet Muslim friend to join us for iftar.
No, they're not Muslims, but they want to fast and they just want to experience.
Okay, no problem. Anybody can learn how to fast. We encourage all our friends who are not yet Muslim is going to fast. Even they say they want to fast 1 hour or half a day, no problem. Give a try. It's good. It's a good motivation. Even a not yet Muslim will learn something. They'll learn get some benefit through the fasting. Even iftar, you can invite them, no, not yet Muslim, to come and join us for the break and fast. There's no problem at all. No problem.
Okay. Jazakallah khair. And there is Dr. Razia. She asked that the hours in most Muslim countries, the official working hours, they're reduced for a few hours in Ramadan. And she's asking that if we work extra hours, which is overtime, and we are getting paid for that, is this money okay to take?
Yeah, if there's an understanding between anyone with the employee and the employer, no problem. Yeah, it is okay. Anything that we do for the right intention, if people can do extra time in Ramadan, yeah, for the sake of Allah, they will get a reward from Allah because they are doing for the sake of Allah. But then if the employer would like to value their effort and give them some bonus, nothing wrong. You're welcome to do that too. Yeah. No problem at all. But our intention is very important. Are you doing the extra hours purely for dunya? Then you get dunya. But if you're doing purely for Allah, you get from Allah and you get from the dunya. So make your intention right for Allah first.
We have a question from Sister Rawa, and she asks, what is your view and advice on sisters spending a lot of time in the kitchen making iftar?
Yeah, I know that even people who are preparing food for people to iftar, to break the fast, they got reward. The Prophet ﷺ did mention that whoever prepare food for people to break the fast, whoever break the fast, the reward that they get from Allah also will be given to the one who prepared food for them. Yes, you get extra reward for doing it. It's very important. This kind of profession also is very important. But I only remind the sister, please not to waste all your full time to prepare food. But you must organize yourself to the extent that before iftar, 10 minutes, you are ready for making dua. No, don't waste too much time. No, Ramadan is not really a month of feast, a month of fasting. It's not a month of eating. No, we can just have something like tamal. That's why the breaking of fast, remember, iftar is not dinner yet. Breaking of fast is iftar. Dinner is after Maghrib. So you just have something sweet, something soft, gives you some energy and some liquid. Actually, the breaking of the iftar is very, very basic, very simple. But today, the thing has changed, you know. We are so carried away, you know, we prepare so much food. Yeah, more than outside of Ramadan sometimes. It's like now we are so greedy, so hungry that we want to eat everything if possible. And you know you can't even eat a lot. So I would say that let us make some changes, make some improvement that in the breaking of fast in this Ramadan, we just prepare something like fruits is the best. Not necessarily dates. If you have dates, no problem. But our Prophet do not only eat dates in Ramadan, he eats dates every day. Only dates is very popular for the non-Arabs in Ramadan. No problem, because it's soft, it's nutrition, and also there's a lot of fiber and energy. Or you can just your local fruits. No problem. Bananas, papaya, beautiful. Make it easy. Don't burden yourself.
Yeah. Sheikh, we have a question from a sister. She says, my husband tends to pray so much more during Ramadan so that he spends less time with family and with me. Did our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do the same thing?
Yeah, there are times the Prophet, almost the last 10 night of Ramadan, the Prophet will go for iktikaf. Then he will stay away from the wife. Yeah? But other than that, we must remember why Allah Rabbul Alameen allow us to be together again as husband and wife at night, yeah, in the night of Ramadan. Because that is also our fitrah. That is part of sunnatullah. Our partner, our wife have right upon us. Our children also have right upon us. So don't just think about yourself and forget that we should strengthen our relationship and build a more healthier relationship together as husband and wife, parents to their children, break your fast, pray together, talk, discuss, plan. For the 11 months to come, everything you can try to discuss and plan and organize yourself in this month of Ramadan so that you get closer together again. Now you are getting to know each other better, improve the relation. It's very, very good. Don't just think of yourself. That is not the problem. It's not balance. Everything must be balanced. Time for yourself is there. Time for your family, with your children, time for your wife. Everything must be organized in that manner because everything is an act of ibadah. Not just reciting the Quran, Qiyamul Layl is ibadah. Even spending time, good time with your family is an ibadah. Having relationship with husband and wife is an ibadah. Now may Allah help us, inshallah.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. We have a question from Sister Sajita. She says, is it okay for women to pray Taraweeh at home with Quran in front of them?
Yeah, now, praying the Qiyam Ramadan, known as Taraweeh, or Qiyamul Layl, is the same prayer, highly recommended, yeah, to do it in Jama'ah, if possible. If you can't do it in the mosque, you can do it at home, with the family. But if the family have done earlier, some don't want to do early, some want to do a bit late, then of course you have a choice. You can do it by yourself at home. For the sister, sometimes if masjid is too far, then you do it at home. It's always recommended for the woman to perform the prayer at home until there's a reason for you to go to perform Jama'ah in the mosque, because maybe they have some dars going on, there's some ta'lim going on that you can gain extra knowledge, then it's okay. It's just to socialize, it's not that important. But again, do you think it is encouraged for you to put a mushaf in front of you so that you can recite, yeah, the Quran, maybe a juzu a day while you're performing your qiyam? We know that in the time of the Prophet, they don't have mushaf like the mushaf we have. Everybody will just recite whatever they memorize. Whatever they memorize, they will recite. Make it easy for them. They don't just force themselves to recite and look at the mushaf, because when you pray, it's a sunnah to look at the place where you put your forehead, the place of sujood. So it's highly, you must focus on that area, not just to the book. Try to memorize whatever you have memorized, strengthen your memory, and then recite whatever you have memorized and make it easy for you. And always remember, brothers and sisters, Qiyam Ramadan is not necessary to do after Isha immediately. No. If you feel a bit tired, take a break. Maybe after 2 hours, 3 hours, you have a good rest. Then you can start to make your Qiyam together again. Or you can even break that into parts. No. Maybe after Isha, maybe you pray 2, 4, and then you take a break and then you continue again later on. No problem. Even if you want to sleep, you're too tired, go and sleep first. And then maybe you wake up 3 a.m. and you start to make the qiyam, and then until sahur, and then fajr, and then you end. It's very practical. It's very simple. But not necessary to put a mushaf, because now when you put a mushaf, you are no more focusing in what you recite. You are staring at the ayah, you know. So you are not really that focused. And yeah, we want to read everything that comes from our heart and what is in the brain already, in the memory. That would be more better in quality, inshallah. Is everybody there?
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. Yes. And there's a question from Sister Nima. We have a couple more questions. Two, three questions.
Yeah.
We'll take another two questions. Is that all right?
Yeah, just two questions, okay.
All right. This is a question from a new convert. She says, I don't know how to read the Quran in Arabic. Will I get the same reward if I read the English translation as a person who reads in Arabic?
You will get the reward when you understand the Quran and you act upon the Quran. But the reward of recitation only for those who can recite in Arabic. They go by huruf, by letter. So you can try if you can't memorize it, or you cannot read because you don't know Arabic letters, but you can try to memorize and follow your friend. Like I start, when I first became Muslim, I write the Latin letter, huruf, to pronounce the word. Alif, lam, mim, A-L-I-F, alif. Lam, L-A-M, mim, M-I-M, example. You can just try your level best. If you are trying to recite like Al-Fatiha, you know, when you recite every letter, you get 10 reward. So that reward is for the Quran recitation, not the meaning. But the meaning is a different level. So try your best. Try your best to recite in Arabic.
Jazakallah khair, Sheikh. This will be the last question, inshallah. Okay. This is from a sister, Malika. She says, I have a friend who fasts but doesn't pray. And what should I tell her? I keep telling her, but she doesn't seem to listen. I'm very upset with this. Please advise.
Yeah, we need to remind her the importance of praying. The prayer always comes before fasting. Even if you go to the history of the hukum of Islam, prayer was revealed in the Isra Mi'raj before Hijrah, and fasting was made compulsory only after Hijrah. So we know that we have people who have this problem, that they are good in fasting but not in praying. But we must keep on reminding them, get somebody who can make her really understand that it's so important to stay connected with Allah. But we don't stop her from fasting. If she starts from fasting, we hope that through fasting, she get closer, and then it's easier for her to start to perform her prayer. But somebody that is close to her, who have the wisdom, must keep on trying to remind her the importance of making the salah, the namaz, inshallah. May Allah Rabbul Alamin make it easy for everybody. But don't be judgmental again. Don't say, if you don't pray, you better don't fast. Don't do. Don't approach in that manner. Whatever they can do, let them do first. But of course, it's a sin for them not to pray. But we must keep on reminding them, don't give up hope, and encourage them. And pray, may Allah open their heart, their mind, that they will start praying, inshallah. And may Allah help those who help themselves. And may Allah bless all of us.
One last question, please, if you can. There's a question from Brother Amal. He says, can you please elaborate a little on physical ibadat?
Physical ibadah is what we do. Like our working is a physical ibadah. Anything you do in life, your work, you know, your services that you provide, whatever you do is a physical, like praying, all these are also physical ibadah. You need movement, anything to do with body. Yeah, that means it's called physical. You know? So, for the Muslim lifestyle, everything we do in daily work, we eat, we drink, we work, we talk to people, we communicate, you know, we visit the sick. Anything you do, the physical kind of activities, if you are guided by the Islamic principle and your intention is for the sake of Allah, is considered an act of ibadah. Yeah, so it's not difficult. You try to understand قل إن الصلاة ونسك ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. Anything that we do in our daily life, you follow the Islamic guideline with the right intention, is considered physical or spiritual or mental. Even now, mental kind of ibadah is you use your time to think of helping other, think how to organize the jama'ah. All this is a mental ibadah. If you think of it, it's a mental ibadah. Now, spiritually, it's more on the soul, your heart. So don't worry. Ibadah in Islam is very, very wide, very broad. It's not just praying. Anything you do, even like cooking, helping somebody to carry something, you know, cleaning up things, it's an ibadah. May Allah give us the right understanding about the concept of ibadah in Islam. And at the end, brothers and sisters, once again, don't forget to pray for me, pray for my family, and pray for all the Muslims wherever they are. And people who are not yet Muslim, may Allah give them guidance so that we have a better peace in this life. So that we have better understanding, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. People are phobia about Islam, where Islam is so beautiful. Islam is here to help. Yeah, to Islam is here to unite. Yeah, but people still having a lot of negative thoughts. So we have to work very hard and keep on praying. May Allah help us and help everyone. And may Allah give us success in this life and the hereafter. Amin ya Rabbil Alamin. Wa bilahi taufiqi wa akhri da'wana. And alhamdulillah bil alamin. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaih. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh, to you and your team. And barakallahu feekum. It's always great listening to you. And hope we have you back soon again with us, inshallah. Jazakallah khair to everyone who joined with us today. And we hope that you will be back again for our next session. Tomorrow, inshallah, our next session will be with Dr. Bilal Phillips. But this will be a recorded session which will be sent to your inbox. So please keep checking your email tomorrow. And inshallah, you will see this session with Dr. Bilal Phillips. Besides that, inshallah, our next session will be on 3rd June. This will be a live session with Sheikh Abdul Rahim McCarthy. He is going to be speaking on contemporary nullifiers of fasting. For the sister or brother who was asking about reading the Quran in English and not being able to read it in Arabic, we have Musabs which are available in the Roman script, which is that it's written in the English letters, but the pronunciation will be in Arabic words. So you can avail that and inshallah benefit from that until you learn Arabic, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan kathir. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.